is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720 967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening. It was an incident-packed weekend. Red or blue, I'm sure you want to be involved on tonight's Legends show. I'm Steve Hothersall. Got Aldo and Sharpie in for the next hour. You can get in touch. 4720967. It's 6:30 on a Monday evening. It was all smiles for Liverpool, and it was far from it for Everton. Don't seem to like a trip to Bournemouth. Evening, you two.
Evening.
How's life? Happy, John?
Yeah. It's good weekend. Yeah. Good result. I don't think we had to really excel to beat an extremely ordinary Hull City team. We tried to park the bus, but the lads done really well. You know, we still got to beat them. No, 3-0, you know, when they got sent off, the game's over anyway. The only dampener is, you know, he didn't get a clean sheet. That one shot, one attack, one goal. But, you know, he scored five, so you can't grumble, can you?
Five's brilliant, isn't it? The Blues are such hype over Everton, going back seven days.
There was a lot of
expectation, no, wasn't there, seven days ago on this show?
What did we see, though? When you looked at the fixtures and you saw the fixtures are kind to them, and their games they should win. So they've won the games up to Saturday that they should have won, that people expect them, apart from the Tottenham game. So I don't think anybody was getting carried away. One or two would get carried away, but not. We knew there was harder tests coming up. Bournemouth shouldn't have been a harder test. I still can't believe we've lost to Bournemouth, but that tells you something about the team. That tells you that you know, he's came in and done a good job and revitalised some of the players, but we're still not a team, and he's still got loads of work to do. So we shouldn't expect, you know, great things. He's had a good start, you know, a reasonable start with the fixtures he's had. But when you look at the squad of players, it tells you that there's something missing. So he's got a big job in his hands. We knew that before he came in. We talked about the transfer deadline. He has to bring more bodies in January. I was saying to Aldo before we come on, the goalkeeper, the right back, left back, if it's Leighton Baines, Jaggy Elka, Ashley Williams, Barry, Guy, are a team, a unit. But ahead of that, we've got four whoever play up there who are individuals. You know, so it's not a team ethic at this moment in time. They're not gelling as a team. The seven at the back are, I would say, but the four has been a problem for us. I said it was a problem for us under Martinez, and I think it's a problem under Ronald Koeman at this stage, but I'm sure he will try to change it, because the four at the front just didn't work out on Saturday. And you've got Bolasie as a winger who can blow hot and cold. You've got Morales who blows hot and cold. Ross Barkley under pressure, his form's not good. And Lukaku, who, yeah, I felt a little bit sorry for him, never got really a lot of service. But listen, it's a work in progress for Everton.
Do you think it's, you know, sometimes we have, you know, the old brigade, we had sayings like, do you think it's a case of it's after the...
The Lord Mayor's show?
No, sorry, mate. When things settle down, you know, the honeymoon period's over, yeah. Type of thing. We used to say when
after the honeymoon.
Yeah, after the honeymoon.
That's the one.
So I don't know, I'm just looking because Everton was quite rosy. And now it's settled down. And what you're saying, see where you get it, you need more players, obviously. Yeah.
Obviously. And this guy, Barry, played with an injury, you know, whether he's going to be fit for Friday night. Leighton Baines was injured. You know, it's a thread. And when he came in, I said it last week, when he came in, he knew the side wasn't balanced, the squad wasn't balanced, with too many in five, six, seven central midfield players. So he needs to address that situation. He's well aware of that, but it was a decent start and a start that you'd expect, but now you're coming into a run of games. I looked at the fixture list for December. It's really, really tough. United, Liverpool, Arsenal, maybe Chelsea, I think. So the big fixture's coming up, so they need to sort it out very, very quickly. But going back to Liverpool for a minute, we talked about it last week. Did they change the goalie? They changed the goalie, didn't they?
Yeah,
and we all said, you know, that would be the sign. You said it, Steve, he'd be the goalkeeper.
Well, I thought he would change, but I'm not sure whether that's the right decision or not. Yeah, he didn't have anything to do. We can't really see, can we? It might be slightly unfair on Simon this early in the season.
Again, going back to old school type, you know, obviously it's new management, new ideas. What Klopp said, he wanted to have a look at the new keeper in the next few games till the international break. You know, so Simon Mignolet was aware of that. But, you know, It's a tough one to take, you know, because he's done nothing wrong, Simon Mignolet. You know, and it was I thought Not for me, really. Mm. But the manager wants to look at him a few games, and then after the international break, then he's going to, whoever's the number one will get the shirt after that. But I think it might have been an excuse, to be fair.
He's a good-looking so-and-so, isn't he, Karius?
Oh, I don't know about that, Steve. Are you sure?
You don't even mention a game to watch that, did he?
No, he is, I tell you. I interviewed him pre-season.
Very cool.
He makes you feel very inadequate. Yeah, that's all I can say. Cool.
Hey, by the way, he had nothing to do. He didn't pick the ball out the net. But, you know, what I found out, I don't know whether it was just coincidental. What Hull City didn't do, when we get the ball at the back and the goalie at the ball, didn't press us. Every other team presses when Simon... Maybe they said, well, that goalkeeper's good on the floor. Don't press them. I don't know. I don't know. I was just a little bit shocked that I expect Hull not just to sit behind the ball, but when we got the ball at the back to try and close us down and force us to hit it along, and they didn't.
But again, the sending off.
Yeah.
Do you think that rule should change?
Penalty's good enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's...
Probably, yeah.
It was a very good stop. Let's get to our first caller. Laura, she's a Red, and she's in the city. Evening to Laura. Welcome to Legends.
Hiya, guys. You all right?
Hello, Laura.
I think you two are going to recognise me though, Steve and John. It's Scouser Laura here.
Oh, hiya, love. How are you?
Yeah. How's it going?
We haven't seen you for ages. How are you doing, all right?
Yeah. I thought I'd have a quick catch-up on our Liverpool because I don't see you anymore.
Good. We always used to see at the game as well, didn't we? Love used to come to me and Steve there, yeah.
I used to go to every game, used to try and go home and away. I'm a bit of an armchair fan these days, but I do like to keep up to date with the Reds and listen to the show on Radio City and that. So.
Good.
I tell you what, Laura, I think those players are playing like they think they can win the league.
That's the impressive thing, you know. Like, I was a bit negative, to be honest, at the beginning of the season, and when I think about it now, you know, there's nothing to be negative about because Klopp, he's a man manager, isn't he? You know, he doesn't need... Sometimes I get a bit worried when we don't buy the big names, and I think everybody else does as well. But what he's doing is he just wants to get the best out of the players, doesn't he? Like he said, he wanted to, and I think I'm starting to believe him that he actually can do that, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, Chop, who's just on Everton from four... You know, very individualistic in many ways. But we're the opposite way. We're the front four Liverpool know where each one is, and you know they're working off each other. They're making space for each other, and it looks great at times. And even when the opposition get the ball, they're working as a unit to close the ball down and for them to make mistakes. And it's a fact now. Liverpool haven't got the front men. Rigi hasn't scored. Sturridge hasn't scored. But all the rest of the four lads there have all scored three goals each, and Firmino too. So that tells you that, you know, we're doing something really good in the attack ways.
That's right. It's almost like it's a real team, isn't it? Now I'm watching that. It's quite exciting. And to be honest, like when I'm looking at it now, I am starting to think, you know, are we going to be one of the top four teams? Because, you know, Man United, we all started getting a bit scared at the beginning of the season when we were looking at their players, you know, buying and that. But when I'm looking at us now, the way we're playing compared to someone who's just bought a team and whatever, I'm thinking, you know what? We're going to probably do really good this season.
I hope so, yeah. No reason why we can't, I'm sure. Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm feeling absolutely convinced. I know it's early doors, but I'm just
watching. Why am I not surprised that you've seen that?
No, I tell you why. Because
ever since I've met you in 15 years, you said it every season.
You know, you're moaning about your squad depth, Sharpie. You know, you've got no squad depth.
Yeah.
Liverpool have got loads of it.
Yeah, no.
Sturridge can't even get on. Origi looks brilliant. He's not. He barely had a kick of a ball.
Danny Ings.
Emre Can won't get on the field. Mignolet's not a bad backup keeper.
Is one.
You know, we've got three good centre-halves now.
Well, because he's made some good signings, whereas in years gone by, we haven't made good signings, Steve, as a whole. One or two, yeah. But, you know, all the signings he's brought in, you know, you're looking at Matip, you know, he looks quality. You know, the lad alongside him, the Estonian, I keep on forgetting his name, he looks solid. Krukic looks really good play for the future, you know, and the players he's brought in, Mane, the goalkeeper, you know, he's gone by. We just haven't. We might have had one or two, but the rest have been bang average. So that goes a long way to make the squad a lot better, Steve.
And what you've got now with that, and I'm not putting a dampener on this, but it's keeping all them happy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another situation the manager's got to worry. We hear about the situation with Sacco and everything else. he's got to manage that now as well, with the players who aren't in the side, who then get a little bit restless and start mouthing off or whatever kind of thing. So there's another area now where Liverpool, as you said, have got a settled side, really doing really, really well. It's keeping those players that aren't playing happy, you know, and keeping their chin up.
One thing I like about Liverpool at the moment is that we're going into the games against like Hull and that, and we're winning them. Whereas in other seasons we've slipped up against teams like that, you know, and now we've played some of the bigger clubs at the beginning of the season as well, which is quite interesting. It'll just be interesting to see how we fare up against like Man City and that. But they're our only threat at the moment. They're the only ones I can see like probably coming first in the league. And you know, if we're going to set our sights on maybe winning the league, I think City are the ones that.
Yeah. I think, you know, winning the league, I'm not even mentioning that because City look very, very strong so early on, the way he's galvanised them, you know. But we can do an awful lot of damage, Liverpool, without a shadow of a doubt. You know? But what they've got the fear factor, you know. Whatever you've seen Chelsea players do, they showed us far too much respect. They were scared of what Liverpool have got going forward and to leave themselves wide open. And all the teams are doing that now, you know, with the exception of Burnley, which was a nightmare, by the way. That when Liverpool go to these teams and United come, they'll be very, very wary, because look at it with top goal scorers, well, just behind Man City, top goal scorers, and we always look like scoring. So it's going to be interesting when these teams come to Man City, how will they approach the game, like Man United the next home game?
24 goals in 8 matches for Liverpool, courtesy of 10 different players. Yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's good. Laura, great to hear from you.
All the best, Laura.
Well, great to talk to you guys. I'll carry on listening. Thanks very much.
All right, I love
Lovely girl. Scouser Laura. Always used to come and see us at the stadium. Did you have a Scouser Laura come see you, Sharpie?
Hundreds.
You just had Scouser Martin, who's next up. Evening to you, Martin. How are you?
All right, lads. How are you? I'm dry, at least, anyway. Yeah, it's just a Sharpie about Ross. I'm not going to knock him because I'm a Ross Barkley fan. I think I've spoken to you about this, but I think he needs taking out the firing line. He looks like Boxer, who's getting a bit too punchy at the minute. Everything he's trying to do, even the simple stuff, isn't coming off. And I don't know whether it's time to put the other lad, Tom Davis, in, because I've seen him. And he's got a nasty side to him. I mean, he'll sack back and he'll get stuck in. Ross doesn't seem to have that side to his game. I mean, you'll know what I mean. I mean, the likes of Trevor Steven and Sheed's, and, you know, Bracey could have a bad game, but they had a nasty side to them, you know, to do the simple stuff and tackle. Ross doesn't seem to be that type of player. He's the flair player, and I think his confidence is a bit shot at the minute.
Yeah, I just think, Martin, you know, Tom Davis is a different type of player. You know, he's not got the craft and the creativity that Ross possesses. He's more of a Drissa Gay type, you know, who gets tackles in and things like that. So it's really a different position. Ross is struggling for a little bit of form. He'll be first to admit that, you know, and the manager has already spoken to him about. But as I said before, and what John said about Liverpool, where Liverpool's front four are firing and everybody's playing well and they know what each other's doing, I think we are too many individuals. I think we've got four individuals, you know, and Morales and Bolasie and Ross and Lukaku. They're not playing as a unit. So we're struggling a little bit in terms of, you know, creating things. Listen, Bournemouth again. And no disrespect, if you're wanting to do things in the league, and it's no disrespect to Bournemouth, who played well, but they can't outfight you. They can't outfight you in a competition, in a game, a competitive game, and that's what they've done. So that's a worrying thing for the manager. Not just the form of Ross, but I think the form of the front four. You know, we knew Bolasie when he came. He's a winger, you know, and they're inconsistent. You make it one good game out of three. He could get away with one in five maybe at Crystal Palace, but here at Everton, he needs to produce in a regular basis. And until he starts doing that, and all the other lads up there as well, they need to perform more as a unit than what they're doing at this moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, I think as well maybe with the change of manager. I mean, Roberto Martinez's philosophy wasn't, he said it in public. Mm-hmm. I don't mind Ross making these mistakes. I don't mind Kevin Morales making these. Mm-hmm. But we know Ronald Koeman isn't a man. Ronald Koeman is either stop making the mistakes or I'll hook you. And he's already proved that because he's not a manager who says, well, if the opposition score five, I'll score six. Yeah. As far as he's concerned, you keep a clean sheet and we get a one or two. That's what wins you football matches. And I think maybe that.
Do you think this relentless obsession with Ross, John, is partly down to the Scouse factor as well? Isn't it? We talk about him every show, don't we? I mean, you never had that, did you? That
the expectations, you know, because hey, we all like Scousers to do well. You know, if they even play for Everton, you want him to do well, don't you? He could be a top player, and I think there's a lot of frustration coming about because of that, maybe because you know you expected maybe him to every season go bang bang bang, get better and better and better. But sometimes, like you hit a hurdle, something, you take a knock, and you've got to get yourself back. And there's only you that can do it. Obviously, you want help from the manager and the coaches along the way to get you back in the right frame of mind. But
he's hit more hurdles than most Scousers, hasn't he?
Yeah, he
Stephen Gerrard never had the...
Different player.
Different player, Steve,
well, absolutely, that's what I'm saying. You're a different player.
Yeah, well, you remember, Ross as a young guy had a really bad leg break. So he's had to overcome that as well. So he's had some hurdles and the time to get over that. You know, and he's not a ferocious tackler like Stephen Gerrard was. So he's a totally different player. So listen, we keep saying he's a young lad. You can't keep saying that forever kind of thing. But we all know the potential's there. We need to see it in a more regular basis. And that, but the manager will be stressing to him. You know, he needs to be more consistent in his performances.
Martin, just hang on there. We've got to take a quick break. It's the Radio City Legends. It's 7:45. We'll be doing Look Who's Scoring very shortly. John's devastated by that. We'll take more of your calls. 0151 472 0967.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
It's 6:51. This is the Radio City Legends. I'll just replay you a bit of Satan Snods in a moment or two. Just after Martin's finished his point, he was mid-flow with Sharpie. So sorry to cut you off, Martin. Welcome back to the show.
All right. I was going to say I'll give Aldo a hand with that question, because I'm normally not too bad on them, but I'll be off the line by then. Sorry, Aldo. But I'm in no way having a go at Ross, because I'm a Ross fan. I mean, I think part of the problem was Roy Hodgson didn't help when he was England manager either. He picked Ross, but he'd be on his case. Why pick him if you're going to be on his case? Don't pick him. Do you know what I mean? That doesn't help when you've got an international manager saying, oh, yeah, you know, you're not this, you're not that. But why are you picking him then?
It's different. And different managers have different methods. It's as simple as that. You know, and whereas you said before yourself that Martinez was an arm round the shoulder kind of manager, whereas Ronald Koeman's not. You know, it's just the way you've got to take it. And as players, you know, whether you like it or not, you know that if you don't perform, you don't play. So Ross is in a little dip in form at this moment in time. And as John said previously, it's only him that can get himself out of that. You know, Koeman will be working them hard in training, as he's working all the players, and he'll be looking for a reaction. So he doesn't lose his abilities overnight. He's just gone through a little spell where things aren't going for him. So it's important that he gets the support of everybody. That's the supporters as well. And as you quite rightly said, people booing him does him no favours whatsoever. So it's important to get behind the lad at this time and make sure he gets through this dodgy patch he's having.
Oh, I totally agree, mate. I mean, I'm not booing him. Mm. I mean, I think the only fella I've ever booed was Roy Keane, for obvious reasons. Didn't like the fella, but that was because he was a cracking player, and I loved him at Everton, but, you know, you just had to one of them. But do you think maybe it's time to take him out the firing line a little bit?
Only if there's somebody that's capable of coming in and doing a job. You know, listen, if you're not playing well, you're not going to stay in the team. You know, that's never changed, you know, since football was invented. If you're not playing well, you don't stay in the team. You know, so Ross is under a little bit of pressure. You know, his performances have got to improve. He knows that. Would I take him out? Only if you had somebody better to put in there. And you mentioned Tom Davison. I said she's not the same sort of player. So he's really struggling for options for me, the manager, because I don't think our squad's deep enough and good enough. The boy Valencia came on and Saturday and missed a sitter. De La Feo, for me, is not a starter. So I think he's struggling for options, to be perfectly honest. So I think he may well have to persevere with Ross.
Martin, thank you very much indeed for your call. Have a great Monday.
And you, lads, good evening.
Cheers.
There
cheers.
We go. Right, just put your headphones on there. This is right. Your good friend Snods in St. Snods at the weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. They've got this thing where basically people can ask them questions on a hashtag on social media. So they type.
I bet
in,
the Saints right up to date with that.
No, he doesn't know what Google is. Actually, he said it's Google a machine.
Yeah.
So they write hashtag. Ask Saint, ask Snods. So one of the questions that came in was this.
Hashtag ask Saint or ask Snods. Ask Snods. Snods, what beer is in your fridge right now?
I don't. I never drink in the house.
Oh, there you go. Ever. Jason, thank you for your question.
Ever. Don't drink in the house. Don't.
No point
don't
in coming to your house for an hour.
No, I don't. Yeah.
No bottle of wine lying there.
Saint, I don't do house parties when I'm invited.
No, I don't. I'm just saying, if I go to your house on business.
No, you wouldn't get, you wouldn't even get a glass of wine. No. No.
I don't even want you round, Saint.
Stop inviting yourself. But no, the answer, I do not drink in the house.
Gary Brown,
I drink everywhere else, but not in the house.
Everywhere else is home.
I love that where Saint says, if I come round on business. That's true. Is it true, this?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, but he certainly makes up for it.
Yeah, he's never in his house, is he? He's never in his house. Right, let's get on to some thumbs up and thumbs down. Aldo, what's taking your fancy this week for a thumbs up or
thumbs
down?
Thumbs up. The main stand. The technicalities have all disappeared.
Tell Sharpie.
I had to get it. I had to get it.
Oh, go on, thumbs
bit.
Up.
I think it's all, great. All
that's brilliant. Absolutely love it. At the weekend, it seems to run very smoothly, operational. So I was happy with that as a thumbs up. Yeah.
Oh, well done, Liverpool. You got it right. Oh, good.
I think he's got it right.
That's brilliant. Absolutely love it.
And a thumbs up from you, Sharpie.
West Ham in the form. At the new stadium.
Shocking, yesterday.
But some people say, like, you know, don't move, you know, oh, let's go into a new stadium. They got it handed to them on a plate. Mm. It was there for them. And it has been like a noose round their neck at the moment because they can't generate a win, can't generate any atmosphere. I believe they turn and have false chants coming up.
Pre-recorded chants
and all that.
I'll tell you what, they could have got beat 6.
Yeah.
Southampton run them ragged. Unbelievable.
So it's a case of, again, this is one, be careful what you wish for.
Yes,
a new stadium. And when you used to go to West Ham, it was always a tough place to go, really compact. And now they're so far away from the pitch, they've lost the atmosphere. And it's affecting
all
the team.
They're all where they used to congregate together. And obviously they've been dispersed. So your mates on the other side of the stadium and where the singing parts used to go, it's no more. So don't know what's
I read an article with Tony Gale, you know, the ex-West Ham defender, and he was saying that it's ridiculous. Whereas in the past, it was at Upton Park, where they all used to meet in their own pub and have a pint before they went to the game and everything else. There's nothing around here. There's nothing. So they've lost all sense of, like, being the club they were. You know, they've fallen out with the ex-players. We talk about Liverpool in the new stand and bringing ex-players in to work the lounges. Doesn't happen to West Ham now. So it's a total change of direction for them, and the performances on the pitch are suffering. And I think it's because of the stadium. I think the stadium helped them immensely. Yeah. Upton Park helped them immensely last year.
The fear factor, you know. Mm-hmm. And for referees, you know, a lot of referees say, you know, the hardest places used to go was West Ham and Everton. And Everton, to put under pressure, quite a lot of referees. And they've not got that no more. And I tell you what, they will struggle right throughout the season at that place.
Because you don't turn into a bad team.
No.
In the space of one season. You've still got Payet, really, haven't they? You've still got Collins, a few good players there.
Yeah.
That's your thumbs down, obviously. Ronaldo.
Well, thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Ronaldo getting subbed. I never thought I'd seen it, but he got subbed. They're winning 2-1. And they end up conceding a goal 2-2. But his face... I think it's the first time he's ever been subbed at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And his face was a picture. Oh, my God. He was absolutely distraught. Yeah, with a petted lip and everything and sitting on the bench. Oh, his reaction, incredible. Listen, who are you to argue if it's somebody else that takes you off, fine, but if it's Zinedine Zidane, I think you'd have to
go.
All right, then, I accept that. Like, fair enough, I accept that from you. His face was a picture.
I want to give a quick mention to FIFA, who have decided to scrap their anti-racism task force. Critics have said it's shameful. So it was set up in 2013 to tackle the issue of racism. But now the FIFA General Secretary says it had a specific mandate, which it has fulfilled. And of course, the World Cup takes place in Russia next time round.
We'll see. Well, we didn't have to renew it, I think.
Goodness me.
It's been fulfilled, isn't it? That's crazy. Still... most, I don't know if it's the most, but still a lot of racism goes on in Russia. So I don't know how they've fulfilled their task. You know, but listen, it's
not
FIFA.
Surprise you,
yeah,
does
exactly.
You?
It's
not
FIFA.
Surprise you with them, yeah.
Kick it out. The anti-discrimination group, which I think you're on the board of, aren't you, John, or involved in somehow, said it was perplexed. By the decision.
Yeah.
Right, I mentioned to a couple of books that are out at the moment. We have, what is it? Oh, a thumbs down.
I'm giving me thumbs down.
Oh, go on then, a thumbs down.
Okay. Sacco.
Oh, Mamadou.
Sacco, yeah. 3 a.m. in the morning, does this rant about the manager. You put your dirty washing out in public, do you? You know, you keep it to yourself, you talk to him. He's made things more difficult for himself now. Unless it's a plan by the agent to get him out of the club. That's the other thing which goes on.
He put something about I'm fit and it's
basically
there's a lie or something like that.
He could play for the under-23s to start going, but he's not getting no game time and all that. And he's a scout soldier type of thing. He's just done himself no good at all. You know, he's undermined the manager again. Is there any way back for him? Things can change and all that, but certainly he's got to do his talking on the training pitch and go and speak to the manager one-on-one and iron it out, because things can get back again. Whether he's took it one step too far, we'll soon find out, won't we?
We talked about it before, John, didn't we? We said that at this stage he needs to get games.
Yeah.
He needs to get games. So if he's not playing them in under-21s or under-23s, whatever it is, something not right there. Why not let him go out and loan? Go and loan him. You know, and let him go out and loan.
That's what he tried to
do that. You know, there's still something not right.
No.
Something not right there.
I know, you can understand his frustrations. Don't get me wrong, because we've been in the same sort of situation. But you don't go out and say, like, you know, he wants people to know that, you know, it's not his fault. He has been available for selection and fitness. But he's played no games. He's not played games because of what happened. Yeah. You know, he was very unlucky. With the allegations what was put towards him from FIFA again, was it, or UEFA?
Gosh, I don't know.
Sacco, knock on the manager's door, go in, get off your chest.
It's another one of using that stupid social media.
Yeah,
getting players in trouble again.
Gotta get Sharpie on Twitter. Right, a thumbs down for Mamadou Sakho. Oh, there we go.
Didn't have a clue. That's not acceptable. That is quite shocking. Didn't have a clue.
Okay, 2 minutes past. We're going to frazzle John's brain in a moment with the quiz. That's coming back in a second or two. Some more of your calls as well. 0151 4720 967. And in a couple of shows' time, your friend Mr. McAteer is coming in because he's got a book out, hasn't he?
Is it a Cullen book?
As good as it's coming.
We'll talk about that shortly. It's the Legends.
Merseyside legends, John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. Call now 0151 472 0967. Red and blue. Banter and debate. The legends. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
6 minutes past 7 o'clock. If you listen on Radio City, I'm sorry, because when things are pressed in this studio, there's some odd noises coming out, so this keeps going out.
Just pure panic.
I thought he'd been eating that healthy breakfast again.
Instead of the opening to the show. So that might make a little bit of sense to you now. If you're hearing that instead of the actual sweeper to the show, there's some sort of technical cock up there. So sorry about that. A quick mention to a couple of books. We've got Howard Gale's book coming out, 61 Minutes in Munich, very shortly. That's out on Friday. And then, do you know the title of Jason's book?
Trigger. No.
Join the dots.
Blood, sweat, and
certainly not tears.
No, blood, sweat, and McAteers. Of course, it's McAteers. Blood, sweat, and McAteers. Yeah, it's not bad, is it? Do you think Jace came up with that? Blood, sweat,
no.
Is that an accurate description of Jace's life in football?
No.
What about the sweat?
I hope he's not listening.
What about the sweat?
Well, Jace is going to be a guest in a couple of weeks, so you'll be able to lay into him when he comes in. On that front, right? Let's do our famous quiz now, which Sharpie leads 7-2.
It's not 7-2.
Scoring.
I won the last one. So it must be 9 now. 9-2.
No, it was a one-pointer, wasn't it?
No, it was a two-pointer.
It's 8-2. Dave is the adjudicator. He's giving you 8-2. So
eight
here
two.
We go. Right, this is an easy set of questions. John, get your head together. Don't be frazzled by it. Here we go. 5 points. Born in 1970. 10 years in England with 2 Premier League clubs. So 1970. 10 years in England with 2 Premier League clubs. Any ideas as to the player?
He's born in 1970, did you say? Yeah.
Yeah. Nope, well, nothing on that one. So he's 46. There we go. Yeah. Okay. Right, for 4 points, he won four Premier League titles. Four Premier League titles while playing in England and one Champions League. He also won the Champions League in his home country. Wow. There you go. That should narrow it down. I can hear people all over Merseyside in their cars, at home, in their living room. The kitchen's getting this answer right. But John, his face is all scrumpled up at the moment.
Did you see the first Premier League he played for two clubs?
Two Premier League clubs. Yeah. Right. Yeah, okay. 3 points, 130 caps for his country. Hasn't scored a goal and played in five major tournaments. Never scored a goal. Who is the player that we're talking about? Is he a keeps?
Peter Schmeichel.
What'd you go for then?
Peter Schmeichel.
Not a
dog's chance.
No
times out of 100.
Not a dog's chance. No. John, right, do you want to guess?
The boys have been playing with the toys, haven't they?
The three-pointers. Do you want to guess on the three-pointers? Come on, quickly. We'll have to get on to 2 points. Keeps? Is it a keeps? Keeper? No.
Peter Shilton. He's the only one I can know with him in bed.
Right, for 2 points, began his career in his home country. I know Sharpie's going to get this straight away now. Began his career in his home country with Ajax.
Van der Sar.
Van der Sar. He's beating me again. It's a grand old
team.
Did you come up with that, John, or did you just copy him?
Just got there before me, Sharpie. Yeah.
Just when it mattered, Sharpie. Well done. Mm-hmm. That takes you to 10-2. Okay, the season is fast running away with John.
I'm going to start getting on the
ale.
I think that's what I might be on a Monday, because I go out with lads on a Sunday and maybe frazzles me. I'd have to stay in on a Sunday.
Oh, well, great stuff. Thanks very much, guys. We've got some tweets and texts, I think, have come through. We'll get onto those in a moment or two. Everton have got some Friday night football ahead. Oh, yeah. Does that suit you, Sharpie?
No.
Sharpie, let me. I'm no last man standing. Do you ever do it? When you do the, it's a competition that you the Premiership.
Yeah.
Every week you've got to do a team to win.
Last season.
Then you can only do one team. I'm going to do Everton this weekend. What do you reckon? I've had six goals. I've got six right. And I'm thinking about doing Everton this weekend. Come on, mate. Should they do it all?
Crystal Palace had a good result against Sunderland.
They've been a bit of a bogey side here, haven't they?
Benteke scored. It'll be a tough game. It'll be a tough game. We've got an injury out. Be Gareth Barry as well. But no, I'd go with Everton. I fancy Everton.
He said that with a smirk on his face.
If I don't like Friday night football, no. I think it's a nonsense.
Don't you? You've got the weekend off, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't like it. You play golf. Well, true, yeah. But no, I don't like it.
Right, a few on the text. Carl in Towin, with us playing so well at the moment, is there a role for Sturridge, John?
Well, you never say never, do you? Because, you know, you can get an injury to a player, you know. Hopefully not so lack of form. He's just got to keep on, you know, training hard. The one thing I watched when he came on, he got the penalty. But since he's played for England in the Euro, he's going deeper and deeper. You don't want to see him going into anti midfield and coming off the defenders. Defenders hate to see him running in behind or flicking out the way. He's got great touch. You know, he's a fantastic player. You want to see him running into them areas, not coming off and being in space in and around. I know that allows other players to go into that space, like, you know, Firmino or whoever, or Coutinho. But I want to see him on the shoulders of the centre-halves doing all of his good work, because that's where he's technically excellent.
Okay. Carl, I hope that's good enough. Wade says on Tom Davies, Sharpie, are you surprised he hasn't played more? I think you touched on him before.
Yeah, because I think he's very similar to what is already there in Idrissa Gueye and Gareth Barry. And I think it's hard for him to break into those two positions. He's certainly on the periphery of things at this moment in time, but I don't see him as a Ross Barkley type. I see him more as a defensive midfield player. So, no, I know he's on the fringes of things, but I didn't expect him to play.
Right, let's get back to the phone lines. Next up on the Radio City Legends tonight is Ian in Highton. Evening, Ian.
All right, boys, you okay?
All right, Ian.
Yeah, all I wanted to say was, with Liverpool having so much attacking force, like Coutinho, Firmino, Mane and everything else, and Sturridge is kind of in and out. I mean, at this moment in time, with all I'm adding to the goals, we're kind of like, we're not missing the fox in the box, like a striker, are we? So, because we're scoring so many goals in other areas.
Yeah. Well, Manny's got three, Firmino two, Coutinho three, Lallana three.
Milner.
And Milner's got three, absolutely, yeah. So yeah, it's great. Oh, although I'd rather see a striker being, you know, vying for the golden boot, you know, getting his 20-25 goals a season. But the way the manager's doing it, you know, all credit to him. And that's without Danny Ings and Origi as well, you know.
Yeah, I think Firmino, no one talks much about Firmino. It's obviously the manager's getting a lot of praise, but this lad's just... You know, when he first came, I didn't think he was that fast. But obviously, that was his fitness levels. Like, obviously, he wasn't up to the scratch of the Premier League. Because he's got a season under his belt now, he looks quick when he's on the ball now, when he's run.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair comment. You know, as we say, it takes some people longer to settle in than others. You could see glimpses last year in some games going, wow. And he's always got a goal in him. Even when he's not playing well, he's always got a goal in him somewhere along the line. And, he started off the season really well. I think he's settled. He's more confident now, and obviously, you know, when he links with Coutinho and even with Lallana, you know, for the first goal against Leicester, it was brilliant what he did, the other week. That was just tremendous ability, and Coutinho done something very similar to open them up at the weekend. You know, that's what you need. You know, you've got to have a guy like that when teams are just defending on top of you with 11 men. You know, to open it up, and them two have got it. You know, Lallana, you know, we've been waiting for a couple of years for Adam to come to the table, and this new role that the manager's given, linking the midfield two up to the three strikers, is right down this street. You know, when they've got the ball, he's the first one that presses high up there, allowing the others to come in behind. He's very influential. Lallana as well with the manager, and he's adding goals, which he hasn't been doing, you know, more consistently.
I still don't think, John, to be honest with you, that Henderson, Lucas, long term. I think when Klopp, obviously next season after, I just don't think they're going to be part of the squad. I know Henderson's doing all right at the moment, but I don't think long term he's going to be the captain. Just my opinion, because. That's just my opinion. I just don't think he's.
Well, let's say we've all got opinions here. You know what I mean? But I think the lads that started the season off brilliantly. You know, I think he's been excellent. You know, so hopefully that will made that continue.
Yeah, he's a great player. He's a good player, John Ford. But I just think long term. I mean, this big toilet from Belgrade.
Rickage. Could be a good player. Him, yeah. He looks to have every attribute. Strong, tall, great in the air. You know, he's got goals in him. He had his first run out at Anfield the weekend, which is like, Shan, come on, he needs games as well because he's had any game time as well. So that's good to see that, you know, them two are in the manager's minds as well for backup.
Nice one, Ian. Thank you very much indeed. We're going to move on, try and squeeze everyone in. Quite a few callers tonight. Let's get to West Derby. Gary Everton fan. Evening, Gary.
Evening, Steve.
Go on, the boys are here. What do you want to talk about?
Okay. Sharpie, I'm a bit... I've just heard that caller there, actually. It wasn't what I was going to talk about, but he's just been mentioning about all these players scoring for Liverpool. Mm. That's a big concern for us because Barkley, Morales, Delefeu, all of the midfielders, it doesn't look like there's any goals coming at all. Mm. And we're too heavily reliant on Lukaku.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a big worry.
Mm. That's where you started the show off, Sharpie, didn't you? Talking about that. It was individualism, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's got in your spot on. And I said all along, you know, God forbid if he gets injured, okay, he missed the game in midweek, but we ain't got anybody that's going to come in and replace him. You know, the boy Valencia's come in, who's coming back from an injury. Don't know about him. Coney, not for me. So we've got no backup whatsoever. So that's a big, big worry. It's keeping him fit. I think in January, he needs to bring in, you know, a proven striker that's going to be back up to Lukaku and maybe eventually replace Lukaku.
Yeah, definitely.
I just think, and I said to John as well, Gary, I just think the where Liverpool are talking about how good their front four or five are at the moment, that's where we're struggling. I thought we, under Martinez as well, the front four aren't delivering, you know, what they're expected to deliver, and we need to get that right.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a worry because... Even with the wide men, Morales and Delefeu, we know what they're capable of on the day, but we only get one day in five or six games.
Yeah.
And whereas, you know, you've got these players, you know, you're looking at Liverpool, and they're producing week in, week out.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a big worry. But my initial point was going to be, you know, I've heard a lot of negative stuff, obviously, because we were poor on Saturday, but you've got to give Koeman time. I mean, Klopp's had not a full season, but three-quarters of a season to get to where he is now. And we've got to give Koeman the same and put his stamp
spot on
his team.
Yeah, spot on, Gary. 100% right. You know, and I think we're getting carried away a little bit. Obviously, I have a disappointment for the Norwich game and obviously the game at the weekend, but you're quite right. He's just in the door. You know, everything's not settled down. He needs to get his mark on the team. He needs to and listen, let me tell you, he will do. And they'll need to start producing the goods week in, week out, or else they'll be out the door. It's as simple as that. So far, far too early to judge. But I just think January, we need to bring more players in and better players and have the squad more balanced, because it's really, really unbalanced at this moment in time in terms of players for certain positions.
On the 1st of January and not the 31st.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But 100% with you there.
Nice one, Gary. Thank you very much indeed. Cheers. Have a great evening. Gary makes a really good point about bringing the players. You had the money. You had a bit of time as well.
Yeah,
but why didn't Everton do it then?
But he's just in the door as well. He's just in the door. So he's got to assess his squad.
Yeah, but he could see it wasn't big enough.
No, but yeah, he could.
Everton fans were saying that.
It was big. It's big enough. And you look at the injuries we've got now. We've got McCarthy's out, Gibson's out, Besic is out. So there's three players who are first team squad members, if not starters. So they right away is three. Young boy Tyus Browning has been out for as well. So there's four of your first team squad are out. He's got to come in and assess what he's got. It's right away he's assessed, we ain't strong enough here. We've got too many central midfield players. We've only got one right back or whatever kind of thing. So he's had to address that situation. The deals he'd done to bring Gay was excellent. The boy Stecklenberg in goal, good. Ashley Williams, good. Bolasie, a lot of money for a winger. Only time will tell. But he's brought those. Now that
why did he let Brendan Galloway go out on?
Well, I couldn't understand that myself.
That doesn't make any
sense.
No,
especially
does it?
When Leighton Baines is injured, and I thought Brendan would have come in here. But he's probably looked at it and thought, Baines will play there. I have got Oviedo there. It's not really a big. Let the boy go out and play. Because if Baines is there, he's not going to play any games. So it's going to. He's let him go out to develop his career.
I think in hindsight, he'd probably regret that for the first few months.
Well, he's got Finnis Murray can play there as well.
Let's talk with Bobby, who's in Highton, Everton fan. Evening, Bob.
Hello.
All right, Bob.
How are we?
All right.
Graeme, I think we're doing all right, and I think some people are getting carried away and a bit negative about the weekend.
Yeah.
I think things are looking all right, aren't they?
Mm. I just think that the disappointment for me, Bobby, was... I know you can never take anything for granted, but we should be beating Bournemouth. You know, and that's a disappointing thing. Okay, listen, they played very, very well. We were off the game and these things happen. Liverpool went to Burnley. They could probably say the same thing as well. So these results happen. But I think it's a disappointment, you know, because we'd started the season well. But I think we're doing all right. I think it will take time, as one of the other callers said as well, Bobby. So, you know, I think we just need to, you know, back off a little bit and let's see what happens.
Graeme, who's your two wingers?
Bolasie's got to be one because of the money they paid for him.
I've been very disappointed with Kevin Morales for 2 years.
Yeah. I think Morales... I would have Morales. But he needs to be more consistent. And I think that's a problem at the moment. And with wingers especially, you know, the inconsistency they show. But we've had far too many players who are up and down. You know, what you really want is you want players who are going to guarantee you a 7 out of 10 every week.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't had that for a while. So it's not just Kevin Morales.
But, Sharpie, sorry to put him there. Is there not a case for Morales, if you know, the young lad's struggling, as he said, not a case for Morales playing in behind Lukaku? Because when I've seen him play down the middle, looked very, very good a few times, you know.
Good point, Aldo. Yeah.
I think there's a bit of that, but I think Delafay used two in and out of at the moment, you know what I mean? And whether he goes and addresses it in January, because we were led to believe on a couple of times over the summer that he was looking at a right-sided player as well. I also wonder, Graeme, I don't know what you think about Gareth Barry. I'm not saying he hasn't had a bad start to the season, but I worry about his legs at times. I mean, I thought in the likes of the Spurs game, he seemed to be treading water, I thought. I mean, he's coming up, he's nearly 37 now.
Mm. 36.
And I know he did say about Gay going to the African nations, didn't he, in January. Yeah. He's going to be looking for some legs in there.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. That's going to be a blow to us.
I just wonder about going to places like Anfield, Old Trafford.
You got 5 seconds, Bob. Sorry, we're running against the clock. Go on.
100 miles an hour, you need legs.
Yeah. Yeah, good point.
Bobby, thank you very much indeed. If you've stuck with the Radio City Legends tonight, thank you, because Jurgen Klopp was on the telly on Monday Night Football, which I'm sure was a great watch. You'd have preferred to listen to these boys, wouldn't you?
Yeah, we'll see
you
on for another hour then.
There was a lovely bit, wasn't there, with Jurgen, where he went mad at the crowd again, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was when Liverpool pressed and got the ball. He really loved what he was seeing, and he's very animated on the side. And it, you know, the cop and the fans just fed off it. It was a good moment, yeah.
Thank you very much. The boys back on Thursday from Sharpie. You'll never walk alone. And we'll see you on Thursday night for more of your calls.